I invite you this morning to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 119, verses 81 through 88. If you're a guest with us, we've been preaching through this psalm now for a couple of months, and we're about halfway through, about at the midpoint. So we're looking at Psalm 119, 81 through 88 this morning. In 2018, a Kenyan runner by the name of Eliud Kibet was competing in a marathon in southern Spain. His time was excellent in the race. He was just meters from crossing the finish line and finishing in second place, and then something unexpected happened. Exhaustion set in, and he collapsed. According to Kibet in his own words, "My legs collapsed. I couldn't do any more. My legs were dead. They faltered, and I fell." With what little strength Kibet had left in his body, he crawled across the finish line on his hands and knees to finish in fourth place. Does anyone here this morning feel like that inwardly? Maybe you feel like spiritually you're on your hands and your knees and you're crawling because spiritual exhaustion has set in. You've been running this marathon of endless suffering in your life and you're just drained. Well, that's where the psalmist was in Psalm 119, 81 through 88. We began looking at this text together last Sunday, and the psalmist just expresses to God how wearied he is in his soul, in his inward being. The psalmist is wearied because of prolonged adversity, adversity that just keeps continuing on in his life without any relief. We know his adversity, what was going on in his life. The man was being persecuted. We see him mentioning that in verse 84. He talks to God about judging those who are persecuting him. Men were after him, godless men, men who disregarded the word of God. They were hunting him down like an animal, trying to trap him. He uses that kind of imagery. They were spreading lies about him, and he says down in verse 87, "They almost destroyed me on the earth." These were violent men who were seeking to take his life. And this has been going on for some time in the psalmist's life. He describes himself in verse 81 as a man who has just been waiting on the salvation of God. He's looking for God to come to his rescue, but God has not yet delivered him from his enemies. He even asks God later in the psalm, he's like, "God, how much longer will this continue on for me? What are the number of days for your servant that I must continue to suffer?" And having suffered for so long, this wore the psalmist out. He was beat down, trodden down. He was spent in his inward soul. He says in verse 81, "My soul languishes for your salvation." This word languish, it describes a man who's failing for strength. He also says in verse 82, "My eyes fail with longing for your word." Not only is he tired inwardly, but it's taking a toll on him physically to where he can't see as well as what he ought to see. He even uses this simile to give us a better picture of how he feels going through this time of adversity. He describes himself as a wineskin in the smoke. Remember, we talked last week about this wineskin. Back in this day, animal skins were used as leather bottles, and sometimes they were hung up in a smoky place. And if they were left there unused, it's like they were forgotten about. They begin to become blackened. They would deteriorate. They would dry up. And the psalmist is trying to communicate in his prayers to God. That's how he feels. He feels forgotten about. He feels useless. He feels like he's deteriorating on the inside, and he's all spent and dried up inwardly. We learn from the psalmist that like him, we too, as believers, we can become spiritually weary from prolonged adversities when we're going through difficulties in life that just don't seem to let up and we're just stuck there. They can begin to wear us down. So we started looking at this text asking the question, what do we do when we as believers find ourselves weary from adversity that just keeps continuing on? We saw, or I pointed out last week, that there's a twofold response in this text. We see how the psalmist responded. One, he stayed focused on God's word. He stayed focused on the Word of God, number one, by waiting on the Word. We saw that in the text, which means to hope in God's promises. He believed God would come through for him, so he remembered God's promises. Number two, he remembered the Word, not just waiting on it, but he remembers the Word. Remembering the Word just tells us that he kept God's Word mindful. He was contemplating Scripture and keeping it in the forefront of his mind. So he stayed focused on the Word of God by waiting on it, remembering it, and then last of all, by obeying it. Even when we're going through suffering, we talked about the reality is we never want to go down the path of disobedience. We want to stay the course of obedience to God, even in our suffering. Now this morning, we're going to look at the psalmist's second response that instructs us on how we are to deal with adversity that just continues on and leaves us weary in our soul. We stay focused on the Word of God, and then number two we're going to see this morning, we stay focused on prayer. And we're going to look at what it means to stay focused on prayer when our souls are weary from adversity. So let's read the text together, and we'll look at how the psalmist instructs us to pray. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word while I say, when will you comfort me? Though I've become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your inspired word. God, to read what the Holy Spirit led the psalmist to write as he was going through a time of suffering in his life and his soul was weary. God, I know many of us in this room can relate to what that feels like. So will you take the psalmist's experience and what he instructs us to do in such a time as to teach us this morning how to stay focused on your word and how to stay focused on prayer as we are waiting for your salvation, your deliverance from our troubles. And we pray it all in the matchless name of Christ. Amen. So the psalmist teaches us this morning, the second response we're looking at is when our souls are wearied from prolonged adversities, we stay focused on prayer. And staying focused on prayer has three elements this morning. For the psalmist, the Word of God and prayer were the ways that they were like his lifeline to stay afloat amidst his ocean of suffering, that they kept him from going under, so to speak, so that he could keep going on day after day, engaging God through the Word and engaging God through prayer. And we see, first of all, in this text, the way that the psalmist stayed focused on prayer, number one, was by praying for answers. We stay focused on prayer in our weariness by staying by praying for answers. Jeffrey Grogan, in his commentary on this section of Psalm 119, he states that the psalmist puts a number of passionate questions to God. Put simply, the psalmist has these heartfelt questions that he wants answers to, and so he just begins to ask God questions, and he asks God three questions in this text. You see, first of all, in verse 82, he says, my eyes fail with longing for your word while I say, when will you comfort me? So the psalmist is just asking this question, God, when are you going to give me some relief? When are you going to come and console my heart? I'm in pain. He's probably confused somewhat that this has been going on for so long that he's so tired and he just wants some rest. He wants a break and he wants God to soothe his soul. So he asks God, God, when are you going to comfort me? The second question he asks, we see in verse 84, how many are the days of your servant? How many of you have seen the commercial with the Energizer Bunny? I think probably everybody in here has. That commercial has been on for so long, I'm just so tired of it. I mean, they remake it in all these different ways, but you know the gist of the commercial. Energizer batteries, comparing their batteries with all other batteries. And when all other batteries wear out, you got this rabbit that just keeps going and going and going. It's just, he never stops. And in a way, that's where the psalmist is at. He's looking at his suffering, and he's like, God, it just never stops. This has been going on and on and on. And so when he says, how many are the days of your servant? He's like, God, when are you going to bring it to an end? When are you going to say, my suffering is over and I'm going to be through this and on the other side? So that's the question he asks. And then in verse 84, he asks a third question. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? God, you know that I'm a man after your own heart. I'm committed to your word. I want to live for you. And you know what's happening to me is the result of men who disregard your word and they're trying to take my life. So when, God, are you going to execute justice against them? God, you know the truth. So when are you going to vindicate me from my enemies? These questions, the psalmist just humbly asks God. He's asking God heartfelt questions that most of us as believers would find weighing on our hearts when we're in a situation that just seems to have no end, and it's just wearing us down on the inside. I remember in the fourth grade, my homeschool or my home class teacher, I had a question that I wanted to ask her, and so I went forward and I asked the question. We had some free time, and I remember asking the question. I thought it was a good question. But when she responded to me, she kind of made me feel stupid for asking the question. And from that point forward, I remember thinking in school, I need to really be careful with the questions I ask because I don't want to be ridiculed in the class by any of my peers, and I don't want the teacher thinking I'm stupid. So I wanted to always make sure the question I asked was a good question. Hey, let me put you at ease this morning. If you've got questions, honest, heartfelt questions that you want to ask God, God's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to get on the megaphone of heaven, and if I ask God a question, he's not going to interrupt Terry's quiet time and say, Terry, you won't believe what your pastor just asked me in prayer. See, God's not going to just announce to others to try to ridicule us for the questions that we have that are true, honest, humble questions when we're going through a time of suffering. So we can take our questions before God. That's what the psalmist did. And let me tell you why I believe it's valuable to ask those kinds of questions. One, asking and praying for answers to the questions we have, one, it allows us to open up and just to share with God what's really going on in our hearts. And we all need to do that. We need to have honest dialogue with the Lord. I remember someone sharing one time in a testimony when they were going through a difficult time. I can't remember if it was when they lost a spouse or a child, something like that had happened. And they were in their prayer time, and they finally said, God, I'm just so angry in my heart. And it was like immediately, they just sensed within themselves an awareness. That's the first prayer in which I've prayed an honest prayer to God in a long time. I just told God what was really going on in my heart. I just had anger. So when we ask our honest, humble questions, it allows the Spirit to go to work in us in the midst of our suffering and weariness. But number two, it's good to ask those questions because let me tell you what I love to do. I love to ask God questions and I love to see God go to work. See, when we ask God questions, we can see God answer those specific questions that we have. God says we have not because we ask not. And so we need to bring those questions before him so that we can ask questions and see him provide for needs and deliver us in ways we didn't think that he would had we not asked those questions. So I encourage you, if you're weary from going through a time of suffering, ask the questions that are on your heart. Ask God like the psalmist, when is this coming to an end? What do you want me to learn from this, Lord? Have I done anything to contribute to this situation that I need to repent of? When are you going to bring justice against my enemies? Ask those kinds of questions. But let me add one caution. When you're asking questions before God and when you're going to God in prayer in general, remember who you're talking to. See, when we talk to God, we're not just talking to anyone. I've heard people say, hey, just say anything you want to God in prayer. Put the brakes on that. God's not just anyone. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one true God who's holy, holy, holy. He's set apart from us. I've been reading in Isaiah, over and over in Isaiah, God says, there's no one who's my equal. There's no one like me. So let us remember when we're talking to God and we're asking questions, we're in prayer, let's remember to always be reverent to God in our speech because we can sin with our words. And we want to ask questions that are honorable questions, questions that come from sincere motives in our heart. And we never want to be disrespectful to God in our speech. So here we learn from the psalmist, if we want to stay focused on prayer, and prayer is going to help us through our suffering when we're weary, the way we do that is by praying for answers. So pray for answers. Ask God the questions that are deep within your heart concerning your suffering. Secondly, we see when we're wearied from prolonged adversity, not only do we pray for answers, we also pray for help. We pray for help, and we see this in verse 86. You go back up a few verses to verse 85, the psalmist begins just talking to God about his overall situation. Look in verse 85. He says, "The arrogant have dug pits for me." So God, you know that there are men who are after me. They're like hunters, and I'm their animal. I'm their prey, and they're trying to take me out. He says, these men are not in accordance with your law. God, they disregard your law. They care nothing for your holy scriptures. They don't live for you. They don't seek after you like I do. But all your commandments are faithful. God, you are faithful. Your word is true. You'll honor your word. So I'm coming to you. Those men have persecuted me with a lie, and I'm saying, God, help me. God, come to my assistance. Come to my aid. This is my problem, and this is what I need you to do. I need you to help me in this terrible situation that I've been struggling with for some time. I'll never forget this story. When I was a member at South Cliff Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas, where I served during my time in seminary, Dr. Carol Marr shared a story about a man that belonged to one of his previous churches that he had pastored before coming to Southcliff. I don't remember all the circumstances specifically, but I think I remember him saying the guy's name was Bubba. Bubba was one of his church members. Bubba had just given his life to Christ, was passionate about the Lord, and Bubba had gotten into this habit. When Bubba had a prayer request, he would call Pastor Marr up on the phone, and he would tell him what's going on in his life, and he would ask Pastor Marr to pray for him in that area. And Pastor Marr would say, sure, I'll pray for you, Bubba, about what's going on. So he would pray for that need in his life. And then Bubba would ask Pastor Marr, is there anything that I can pray about for you that's going on in your life? Well, this kind of went on for some time, and Pastor Marr just felt led to ask Bubba a question when he called him up one time. And he said, Bubba, I will gladly pray for you, but let me ask you something. Have you prayed about this situation first? Have you lifted up this problem to God and told God what your need is? And there was silence on the phone. And Pastor Marr waited, and then Bubba said, you mean I can talk to God about my own problems? And I can ask God to help me with my own problems? And Pastor Marr said, yes, you can take your problems to God, and you can tell God exactly what you need him to do in your life. And Bubba said, I got to go. Never mind. I don't need you to pray for me. I've got this covered now. Church, not only can we pray, but this is one of the most basic things we should always do, no matter what the situation is in life, especially in a time when our souls are wearied from suffering. It's spend some time asking God for help in prayer, telling him what our problem is, and saying, God, will you do this? Will you do that in this situation? Psalm chapter 30, verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord. Be my helper. God's our helper in that verse. Psalm 54, 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the sustainer of my soul. You see, God in the Old Testament was the one who helped his people when they were in dire need. I do this quite often. Whatever I'm going through in life that's weighing on my heart, that's tiring me out, I get up, and I just have a little talk with Jesus about it. And I may have a little talk with Jesus about it for 30 days in a row. I'll just keep lifting that problem up before God and telling God where I need him to help me. And I have found that when I have a little talk with Jesus, there's something about that talk with Jesus that just helps to make the situation right. Is it possible this morning that some of us, the most basic thing that we need right now is to actually have a talk with Jesus about what's going on in our life? We just need to take the problem to God and say, Lord, I need you to deal with this, and I need you to help me through it. And let's be honest, some of our situations are of such nature, there is no one, there's nobody who can help us but God and God alone. And so we need to be taking these situations to God in prayer. That's how the psalmist stayed focused in prayer. The psalmist would pray for answers. Number two, the psalmist would pray for help. And then last of all, this morning we see that if we're going to stay focused on prayer in the midst of prolonged adversities, we pray for help, we pray for answers, and we pray for revival. We pray for revival. We get down to verse 87. The psalmist says, "They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts." In verse 88, "Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth." Verse 88 records a prayer that we've heard the psalmist's voice several times over in this psalm. In verses 25, 37, and verse 40, the psalmist asks God to revive him. And we've talked about the sense of this word, to revive. It means to restore one to health. It means to refresh a person inwardly. He's asking God to renew his inner vigor and strength. And the reason he wants God to restore him, he tells us, look in verse 88, is so that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. God, based on your love for me, your loyal, faithful love, will you renew me inwardly? Give me strength where I'm weak for this purpose. This is the motivation of my heart in asking it, God, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth, that I can continue on to obey your word. This has been one of the qualities about the psalmist that has so ministered to my heart throughout our study of Psalm 119. In the midst of his ups and downs in life and some deep, deep, difficult situations with adversaries, he always wants God to deliver him, not so that he can just live the dreams of his own heart out, not so that he can just spend his life in any way, but so that he can continue to serve the Lord faithfully. Alan Ross comments on the psalmist in this way. He says he wants to come out of this persecution victoriously so he can enjoy all aspects of living. The psalmist wants to be revived so that he'll be able to keep the covenant fully without weakness, without suffering and distractions due to constant persecution. God, I just want to be able to focus on you. I just want to be able to focus on serving you and staying faithful to the scriptures that you've called me to obey. John Calvin, as he analyzed the psalmist's comment in this verse, he has something very insightful to say. He says, as the various instances in which God secures us and delivers us from the dangers in life are so many new lives, he says it's reasonable that we should dedicate to his service whatever additional time is allotted to us in this world. Basically, he's saying, as God comes to our rescue time after time after time, and he delivers us and gives us a new life, so to speak, so that we can start over again, every time the believer's heart should say, God, the days that I have left are yours to use me in the way that you see fit to obey your word completely and faithfully. So pray in your wearied state. As your adversity has not yet been lifted from your life, pray to God for revival. Pray that God will renew you and give you new strength and new power with the promise that you want to keep obeying God with everything that you have. You want to live a life of obedience. When we come to this prayer, as I mentioned before, but it always is on my mind, I shared with you that I have a friend in seminary who once said that many of us don't need revival. We don't need to be revived. We just need to be vived. We don't need God to do a renewal within us to give us a renewed passion for the life we have. We just need God to give us life in the first place. And that brings us back to just understanding the main problem of man. All of us, the Bible tells us, are sinners who are separated from God, and we're under the judgment of God because we've sinned against our holy Creator. Yet God, in his infinite love for us, he put a rescue plan in place, sending his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into the world to become the Son of Man. And he lived a perfect life, a sinless life. And he went to the cross and he died on the cross in our place, taking our punishment upon himself. He was put into the grave. He was buried. And on the third day, he was raised up victoriously from the dead as our King who conquered sin and death for us. And the Bible tells us God commands us in light of who Jesus is, the Son of God, who came down to be our Savior and what he did, dying on the cross for us and taking our punishment upon himself and our judgment. We are commanded to turn from our sin and to believe in Jesus, to acknowledge our faults before God and to ask God for his forgiveness for what Jesus did on the cross to count for us and to tell God that we want to follow Jesus from this day forward. The Bible tells us when we do that, God forgives us. He comes to dwell within us. He restores us to a right relationship, empowers us to live an abundant life, and he prepares us for life eternal so that we will not be overcome by the grave or the judgment that is to come. See, that's the hope we have in the scriptures, that we need to live this kind of life, but the only way we can live this obedient life to the scriptures is if we know the one in whom true life is found, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you never made that decision, you're going to have an opportunity this morning during our response time. We're going to have ministers up front, and we're here to help you walk through whatever questions you may have and what it means to turn from your sin and to trust in Christ and to receive his gift of abundant life. And if you're watching online, you can text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen and we'll reach out to you as soon as we can. If you were to go to the doctor because of physical exhaustion, the doctor is probably going to run some tests to see if there are any underlying health issues that are contributing to your exhaustion. And let me just say in parentheses here that we need to do that sometimes. We do need to go to the doctor to see if anything's off in our system so that we can get any medications, if there are any hormonal, chemical imbalances, because that can happen and it can throw us off in the way we feel and physically and inwardly. So I encourage you to go get tested if you haven't done that in some time. But if there are no underlying health conditions, the doctor's going to talk to you most likely about proper sleep, proper eating, and proper physical habits. You see, when we sleep and we eat and we exercise correctly, it tends to help our bodies recover physically to overcome the exhaustion. We can't treat spiritual exhaustion the same way, though. Though sleep does have some effect on it, you just can't get enough sleep and eat right and exercise right and it just make things well with the soul. See, only God can do that. And the psalmist shows us here that God's prescription, based upon the way he dealt with his wearied soul in ongoing adversity, was to continue to trust in God through engaging God's word and through engaging God in prayer. That's what this text calls us to do when we are exhausted in our inner woman and our inner man. The thing that will sustain us when we are flat worn out is by staying in the Word and staying on our knees. It's praying to God, talking to Him, and opening His Word and letting God talk to us. We should never, no matter what we're going through, ever abandon these two lifelines if we're going to stay afloat in the weariness of this ocean of suffering until God comes to our rescue and God says, the reason that I have this in your life and the appropriate bounds are now reached and I'm ready to move you on from this time. Don't stop seeking God in your prayers. Don't stop engaging God in the Word. What I want us to do is, having focused on a message from Psalm 119 that calls us to prayer, I just want to have a quick, short time of prayer to allow you to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. Harrison's going to come forward. He's going to play for us. And I just want to lead you in a few prayer prompts for you to talk to God. If you're in this place where you've been going through this marathon of adversity and you're wanting it to come to an end because you're just so tired, I just want to have you call out to God from the sincerity of your heart, and I want to lead you in this time of prayer. So will you please bow your head? Will you just begin to just pray with me? Father, right now, we just want to dedicate this time to you. God, we know that in this room that, God, there are people going through situations in life that have been carried on for some time. Lord, they're tired. God, they want some relief. So right now, this is what I want everybody to pray. Just talk to God about your problem. Tell God what it is right now, that struggle in life that just keeps going on and on for you. Tell God what that marathon of suffering is in your life. Tell him all the details about it right now. If you have some honest questions, will you just ask God what those heartfelt, honest questions are, those questions burning in your soul right now? Will you just ask them and ask God just to give you insight to those questions, what those answers are? Ask God for help. Maybe you know exactly how you need help this morning. Ask God to come to your aid. Maybe you don't know what you need. You just need him to do something. Just tell him that's where you're at. God, I just need you to show up in my life because I'm tired of what I'm going through. Until God determines that it's time for this suffering to end in your life, because his timetable is not our timetable sometimes, will you tell God that you want to stay committed to his word and to prayer as he calls you to, even though you're so worn out, you want to keep trusting in him through the word of God and through prayer? Will you ask him for the strength to continue to do so? Father, thank you that you're our helper. Thank you that you've heard our prayers that have been voiced to you this morning. Thank you that trusting in you in the midst of our weariness, God, is worth it. God, that you will see us through whatever we're going through. God, we are waiting on you because we know that salvation is found in you. And that when no one else can help, you can. And we need you more than we need anyone or anything. We declare that this morning. So help us stay focused on the word and to stay focused on prayer. As you do your work in our hearts through our suffering this morning. God, as we go into this time of response, I pray that whatever you're leading us to do, God, that we will do it. If we need to respond to Christ's call for eternal life, that today will be the day where someone says an eternal yes to Jesus. God, if we just need to spend more time in prayer, if we need to go gather around someone that needs prayer this morning, we know of in this room who's going through a hard time, may you just prompt our hearts to do what we need to do during this time. And we pray it in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.